Are you a business owner looking for real advice and input? You're in the right place. From concept to launch to growth, funding, and beyond. Welcome to Startup Hustle with your hosts. One once sold a business for $150 million. The other, the author of Million Dollar Bedroom. Here are your hosts of Startup Hustle, Matt DeCourcy and Matt Watson.
And we're back. Another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here with Daryl Blackburn, who will be sitting in for Matt Watson today. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, Matt.
How's it going?
It's going well.
That's good. Well, we're going to talk about some things today that aren't going well.
Yeah.
Like a lot of industries that are dying. I'll tell you what, the landscape of business is changing.
Rapidly?
I mean, rapidly. And, you know, that's the... You know, being topical, we've been looking for a new office space for Full Scale, and how much retail space is available.
To say we had this exact conversation last night in passing, kind of led to today.
The answer to how much retail space is available out there is almost all of it. So we thought that'd be a good segue into discussing, you know, some industries that are dying and changing. And, you know, this would be a little bit of a different format. We have some numbers and we're going to kind of breeze through them, but we really just felt that the listeners would kind of enjoy getting some interesting stats about different industries, some of which are on this list are kind of interesting. Let's just dive right in. Talking about photo finishing, man,
it's a good start.
Who prints out their photos anymore?
Who uses a camera that's not their iPhone or Android phone now?
Yeah. Now, here's what's crazy is it says in 2012 that there was $1.5 billion in revenue for this industry. And now in 2017, it had $897 million. That's still a lot. Like, that's interesting. You look at a lot of companies like Polaroid or whatever. Didn't Polaroid like become a blockchain company? Or something crazy like that, like a hard pivot, like this stuff we didn't even, you know, you didn't even do. But, you know, that those kind of changes, I mean, that's pretty significant. You just talk about the world of digital stuff. That's pretty big. Are you surprised that it's still $897 million?
I'm more surprised that it's only 11% decrease. I would have thought that it was a little more rapid than that right now.
Is that 11%, is that year over year? Because that's about a 50% decrease.
Yeah, it's year over year.
So it went down 11%. For those of you listening, we're trying to learn how to, maybe our own industry is dying because we're not experts at reading our own notes here. So it's down 11% from last year. That's a lot.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is I bet people are taking more pictures now than any other time in the history of pictures.
I mean, they have to be. Instagram's the number one social media by far.
Yeah, and just selfies and every, you know, before you didn't have a camera. I mean, literally everyone's got a camera. My kids have cameras.
Yeah.
And they're 2 and 4.
It's actually changed the way society works now. People want pictures instead of autographs, and everyone's looking to film or video the next viral moment.
Do you want my autograph?
No. I think I have some.
I probably have a whole bunch of them. So, and for those of you that have not had the pleasure of experiencing a Startup Hustle episode with Daryl. Daryl has worked with me for 10 years and is currently the COO and CFO of Full Scale.
Heavily on the CFO right now.
Which is an industry for us as an industry is certainly not dying. All right. So next, appliance repair. In 2012, $3.68 billion. In 2017, $3.48 billion. Down 5% year over year in this study. Consumers are opting to buy new appliances instead of fixing them. How American is that?
Well, the cost of building and making new appliances has dropped so drastically. According to our notes, Sears and Best Buy were kind of the leaders in the industry. Obviously, Sears has went through some massive restructure.
Gone.
It's basically dead.
Yeah, it's not even basically dead. I was reading an article about what it was. It was written by a manager of a Sears, and the article was titled "What It's Like to Pilot" "What It's Like to Be the Captain on a Dying Ship."
Yeah, going down with the plane.
Just total shit show there. And you know, you look at even things like when you talk about appliances. So JCPenney, who's another struggling mass retailer, just started selling appliances. But, you know, it's, and, you know, I think some of it too is, you know, one of the things we're talking about here is in order to engage more buyers, manufacturers are giving longer warranties. And I'd also like to think that maybe we get better at building things and they don't break as much.
Yeah, I think that it's a lot of the warranty.
Yeah, sure.
I think it's the former. Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things that there's two ways to grow. You can either get more customers or you can make more off your current customers. So that's the thing, that you sell an appliance. Now you also have the chance to sell them a warranty. So that that repair need is slowly dying off.
Also true. Okay, next. Oh, wow. DVD game and video rental.
I feel like we should have saved this one for last.
I mean, wow. So, you know, this, I mean, if you didn't see this coming, then you're blind. But, you know, you're talking about, I mean, who actually rents? You know what? I'm rapidly realizing how many weird articles I read. So I was reading, saw an article about the people that still get Netflix delivery.
Yeah.
It's because there's twice the selection.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because certain things pop in and out of the web, like the app or the web
streaming
platform.
Rights,
yeah. So like you can just get it. So there's some people that just hang on to that. And, you know, that's like, I don't know, it just feels or seems weird. But I mean, obviously, this is all stuff that is able to have digital delivery. Blockbuster's gone.
I know. Getting nostalgic. That's my whole childhood.
I know.
It's out the door.
I know. Like, the Blockbuster card. You know, Blockbuster once referred me to collections over like $4.
Well, yeah, it's your own fault.
I know it is, but thank you. And I'm glad you went out of business just for that. So, all right, this next one's something that you have a little bit of experience with. You, man, we're just going to keep saying nice stuff about you. Don't you have a degree in finance from like a top 10 business school?
I do.
You're wearing the shirt today.
I am.
You're like one of those assholes that went to Harvard, aren't you?
No.
You're like, when I was in Cambridge.
I mean, I did pass the Series 7 and 63 test to become a licensed stockbroker.
Show off. So money market and banking revenue is down. Down 4% from 2016 to 17 over the five-year gap of the 2012 to 2017. It's not down a ton, but it is down. I mean, what's the reason for that?
I mean, I think some of that is cyclical in nature. The obsession with crypto probably played a little bit of it played into that a little bit. There's a bunch of varying factors, but I think a lot of that's just cyclical.
Until I see
more numbers, I won't write that industry off.
Yeah, I won't either, but I bet some of that dip could have something to do like that. Okay, so this study started in 2012, which is still at the kind of the end years of the financial crisis. And then other things too is, you know, that removed disposable or investable income from a lot of people's bank accounts, which, you know, I mean, in America, we're great at spending more than what we make. So rapidly rising cost of living in some places, and who knows? Oh, this next one, man, this is literally just a list of like, I don't ever want to be on this list. All right. Newspaper publishing. What's a newspaper, man?
I have no idea. They predate me.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think the only thing that's a little, what about the Yellow Pages?
So I have never in my life, in my adult life, had a newspaper delivered.
I have at one point, but it was because it was a gift from my dad, who's 76. Thanks, Dad. By the way, you want to talk about getting referred to collections. I apparently didn't like, that was like a recurring subscription. Almost happened again. I didn't like do something like I got a gift of a year subscription to the Kansas City Star and then it ended, but they kept delivering it. And I was like, okay, that's weird. And apparently I didn't opt out.
I got a little salty about that. I think the only thing I've ever done is subscribe online to all my different publications.
That's where that models. I mean, but think about it. It's just so much better. I mean, not only is it not using like a frickin' forest with the paper every day. There's people that have to deliver those papers.
It's also instantaneous. By the time you get the newspaper, it's old news.
It's easier to just do it online. I subscribe to the Wall Street Journal, you know, and I read articles through their app.
Right.
But past that, I don't do a whole lot. And yeah, like you said, the online.
The most shocking thing on our notes, $23.7 billion worth of revenue still in 2017.
Still. Yeah.
Wow.
I know, isn't that nuts? And you know, the crazy thing too is like there's a big trickle effect with that because think about how much print media advertising goes right into all that. So, you know, when I used to live in Washington, D.C., and I bought ads, I ran a chain of Yamaha piano stores there like 1,000 years ago. And by the way, we should add that into the list of dying industries, the piano industry.
Right.
So at one point, since I quit that in 2007, and I had worked for the world's largest manufacturer of electronic musical instruments, which is Roland. And since that point, 80% of the accounts that I had are gone. They're out of business. Just like, and that was actually all the stuff that's killing the things that are in these dying industries are digital products. That's what killed the piano industry.
Right.
Digital products, man. Mm-hmm. Digital pianos, but still people just weren't doing that stuff. They moved on to other things or playing Guitar Hero. And,
right,
you know, the whole entire music industry, musical instrument industry is like Guitar Center, who's a publicly traded company and a staple of the industry. They are battling hard to stave off like a complete shutdown. So, and some of that was chopped into by Amazon, like a guitar pedal is easily shippable. So are picks and things like, and strings and shit. You don't want to drive to Guitar Center to go get, cause you can still wait 2 days for it to arrive.
I mean, we could have just put a blanket statement and said, all of these industries are dying because of Amazon.
Yeah, that was, well, you, thanks for spoiling my outro. No, but it's true. All right. So recordable media. That's tapes, discs. Once again, digital wins. You know what's crazy is you talk about some of that stuff. And, you know, I was just talking about the music industry. When I used to work in the music industry, a digital recorder was like the small ones were like the size of a Yellow Pages phone book. They were
right.
Freaking big. They were bulky. And now you can literally do that right into your phone.
Right.
And back to digital and stuff like that, you talk now, use the music industry. Like you used to go to Guitar Center and you'd buy a guitar tuner.
Right.
It's an app in your phone now.
Oh, yeah.
Just easy. So everything, you can do so much. I think it's pretty cool. Like I actually like it. I think all these things that are dying honestly may deserve it. Like this, there's a better way.
Yeah. Mostly.
I'm cool with that. Yeah. And then on some regards, like, you know, like, I mean, realistically, like, the environmental impact of newspaper publishing isn't favorable. Like, why do we need to be chopping down trees? It just isn't, like you said, it's old news the moment you get it.
Right.
Like literally so much fake news could come out between the time of, but you could have a world of change. Okay. This next one's interesting. Considering the growth in housing and other stuff, hardware manufacturing. So, talking about names like, and that went from 2012 from $7.48 billion. Man, that's a big drop for that. In 2017, $6.63 billion. Talking about Stanley, Black & Decker, Ingersoll Rand. You know, my wife's father worked for Ingersoll Rand for 20 years.
Right.
As a district manager or something, and they've done a lot of cutbacks.
Yeah, I think the easy answer to this one is the world has become so globalized, imports are easier than ever.
True, true. And then, you know, another thing too is with certain things and products, like, you know, you manufacture them and I hate to keep going back to music here, but like with pianos, like those things last fucking 70 years.
Right.
Like you can go get a used one.
You like buy a new one every 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. You really don't. And the same thing with, you know, like, I don't know. It's definitely has to do with the cheapness of stuff.
Well, yeah, a pretty interesting note here that we have, or that we kind of touch on imports, but imports currently account for more than 50% of all metal hinges, handles, keys, and locks sold in the United States. And that's up from 29.3% in 2002. So you can see a drastic shift in the market in the cost of goods and where we get them. Taking the industry in the wrong way.
I'm surprised at the countries that we have listed for where they come from. China, Mexico, and Canada. I'm not surprised with China. I get Mexico, but Canada? Huh. It's a little surprising.
It's an interesting one.
It is. This whole entire next one is actually very surprising to me. The shoe and footwear manufacturing. You and I are both sneakerheads. Yep. I thought at one point I was maybe propping this whole industry up.
I've been there.
Yeah. A little surprised with that, considering I haven't seen the price of Nikes or Adidas drop.
Well, that's because I think it's a giant market. And I think that end is on the imports coming into Walmart and Target and your normal households. It's not the Nikes and Adidas of the world. They're so flourishing.
You mean everyone in the world doesn't buy overpriced Yeezys like I do?
No. So that higher end is flourishing. It's the lower end. And once again, imports. You can so easily import those.
The reason I'm surprised with this, and so in 2012, $1.7 billion. In 2017, $1.5 billion. I thought the shoe and footwear industry was bigger than that. Everybody wears shoes.
Yeah, I would like to know what the criteria for this.
Yeah, I'm a little curious. Maybe we'll do a little follow up there. But yeah, because think about it, you have 7 billion people on the planet. I have a hard time believing that the average spend on each of them is 16 cents per foot per person, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're going to have to follow up and clear this up. Nike reported a 2017 revenue of $34.4 billion.
Yeah, my point is
which
exactly.
was up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
6%.
So, okay, well, we're going to strike this one from the record because I think we've got some inaccurate data here. This next one's an industry that I'm thinking about getting into. Costume and team uniform manufacturing.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. Numbers pop.
I'll tell you what, $986 million to $889 million. You know what? I bet a lot of that has to do with the ease of use of manufacturing some of this stuff. Like if you really wanted to make jerseys for your softball team, you can mm-hmm. go online, do that pretty quick. I don't know, man. Who knows?
Yeah. And I think where it's probably taking a hit is you can still go on order that same jersey online. I think the manufacturing's probably just moved to a different country at this point.
Yeah, I think you're right too. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, with the way that sports and other things are growing, man, that must just, well, it's talking about manufacturing. It's not necessarily talking about retail. So
yeah, I think this is just getting leaner. And what it costs to produce, and it's driving the market down a little bit for revenue. I'd be interested to see what the actual margin is, though, if they're now operating at a much higher margin and just a lower revenue.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think anything related to clothing, I mean, just, you know, I don't know. I mean, they make it pretty cheap and bring it in here and get a margin on some of it.
Yeah.
So like a clothing manufacturer and people that like, especially that own their own stores, like they're aiming for like an 80% margin. And some of that's because some of that stuff, they'll never sell it.
Right.
They send it over to somewhere. Like mm-hmm. you ever seen the pictures or videos of like all the people in Africa that are wearing the Super Bowl shirts for the team that didn't win?
They think the Patriots have never won a Super Bowl.
No doubt. So there is literally so much clothing in the world that like you talk about, you know, people like, oh, well, I'll donate it, you know, Goodwill and some of those things. They throw away 90% of the t-shirts that are donated. They're right. Like, people don't even want them anymore. They like, you know, they're not even worth shipping to wherever they ship them to. And, you know, I don't know, man.
Well, it's got to be way more expensive to ship them than it is just to get rid of them.
You know, and then last on the list here is women's and girls' apparel. Based on the amount of shopping that I've seen my wife do over the last decade, I have a hard time believing that this industry is shrinking.
Are you propping this one up as well?
I feel like maybe I might need to review my own personal economy because some of this stuff is definitely there. Now, what do you attribute to this to? You just think
again, outsourcing. I think it's just getting cheaper to make. Again, I would be interested to see if the profit margins are rising on some of this stuff. It's getting cheaper to manufacture. You could sell it at a little bit lower cost. I'd like to see the true reflection of their financials to see the health of it. I mean, obviously, the revenue's down from 8.6 to 8.27 billion.
Mm-hmm.
That's still pretty hefty.
You know what? Going back to the shoe and footwear manufacturing, this is manufacturing. This isn't retail. Nike reports all that revenue. Well, first off, a lot of that's clothes.
Right.
Okay. But the manufacturing industry itself could still be down with the sales still being up. This is another industry that, I mean, do you really think it costs $200 to make an Air Jordan?
I mean, unfortunately, we all know about the working conditions that Nike's had in the past.
And they're pretty shitty, but it probably costs like $4 to make it.
I mean, if that.
And then LeBron gets 80 of it.
Yeah.
Or whoever. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so, okay. So out of these industries that are on here, are you surprised by any of this?
No. I mean, look, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are manufacturing.
Yeah.
I mean, not at all surprising, half of these industries. And I mean, we've obviously just identified some of the low hanging fruit here. There's many more. There's a lot of things. Just the world in general is changing on the way that we operate and where we need to focus moving forward so that we can grow and be productive and continue to be cutting edge. So half of this list being manufacturing, not at all surprising to me.
I mean, when we're talking about a dying industry, though, like that's always a big question because, you know, we brought the show in talking about retail. While certain retail stores are and chains are becoming extinct, a lot of them aren't.
Right.
I mean, some of them, it's kind of like it's, I mean, I wonder if there's some Darwinistic tendencies here. Like, what did we drive by last night that I was, when I was like, how is this place even in business? Was it like Tuesday morning?
Yeah.
Is that what it,
I couldn't explain what they sold.
I nor have I ever been in one. And, you know, we were out looking for office space and they had a lot of space. I mean, that was like a good 3,000-4,000 square
cap
foot retail
on a big
and end cap. Yeah.
Strip mall.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck do they sell?
Yeah.
Junk? You know, like, I mean, for real, like, and so, I mean, there could be some Darwinistic tendencies in there. You know, you talk about things like, I mean, the department store in general, like how big is a JCPenney's or a Sears or whatever?
Right.
Like Sears is definitely something that got slayed, not only by Amazon, but then when people started buying their appliances at places like Lowe's.
Right.
Sears was done.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Well, now Sears has a retail deal through Lowe's.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
They sell all of their tools and that whole Craftsman line through Lowe's. So it was a pivot on their part. That was smart. They stopped manufacturing from their standpoint and trying to market and sell their own product. And now they're just licensing it through another big box store.
And, you know, there's, when I look at the chains that seem to be closing, they're all places that have these like mega stores.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
well? A lot of those big department stores are now moving towards more boutique stores,
right?
Like
right.
Macy's is closing thousands of stores across the country. Every big retailer like
that's
that
because it's department. If you can't succeed in all the departments, then you're wasting your time. And then also, do you know how
online too?
It's also the amount of capital it takes to keep all that right. shit on hand.
The brick and mortar model in general, especially large brick and mortar model,
so
it's just so much easier and it's more cost effective to just do it online.
And, you know, Andrew Morgans is coming in next week to talk to us a little more about Amazon. But, you know, when you look at, I saw a chart that was showing the online, you know, they're up to like 54%, you know, and like, and it's just so easy. Like, that's the thing. It's so easy. And wait till the drones come drop your stuff off.
They started piloting that in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be weird.
Same day drop off via drone.
I'm curious to see what the success rate's going to be with that, especially in the beginning. Man, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of rednecks out there that are probably going to take shots at those things. And like, just the general, like, I don't know, man, they better be pretty smart.
I mean, how many of them are just going to be flying through at all times?
I know. I wonder about that. I mean, and you know, how are they going to deal with that? You know, you talk about industries that are changing as well. Like, it's possible that when we do this again in a few years, so what Uber and did Lyft go public or did both of them, did they actually do it?
I don't know.
They're getting close.
Sure, yeah.
So yesterday Tesla announced that in a year, they expect to have about 1 million robocars. So if you have a Tesla and it has the self-driving thing, you could literally put your car to work. Without you can let it go do it. And they said that now who knows if they pull this off, but they have the infrastructure to do it. And they have the, like, it'll be an app just like the same thing. So they said that they could theoretically do ride sharing. So I guess Uber or Lyft, depending on the time of day or where you're at, it's like $2 to $3 a mile. Still, they said they can do it for like 18 cents.
Wow.
So there doesn't have to be a person in it. It doesn't have to buy gas.
Yeah.
Didn't have to do a lot of things.
Is like, that a future dying industry?
Yeah, that's my point. That's my point. Think about that. That's highly disruptive if they launch that. And then, you know, and Elon Musk is sitting there talking about, now, you know, I never know what to think about Tesla because you talk about retail, like they were about to open like 300 stores and then they decided to have none.
Right.
But when you look at something like what I just described, imagine your car being able to go out and earn revenue for you
while you're at work. Yeah.
While you're passive at work, income. While you're at just all the time when you weren't using it.
Yeah.
Now, who knows what kind of condition it's going to be in after. But, I mean, it's kind of weird to think that in that 12 months from now, you could look around and like there's just someone sitting in the back of a Tesla and there's no one driving it. And
yeah.
I welcome that.
I'm okay with it
yeah. too. I am very much looking forward to my car driving me home. You know how I feel about that low value activities, driving. Yeah. Sure, driving's fun in some cases, but I'd prefer to do other shit, man. Like maybe get something done or take a nap or after some of the events that we go to, maybe just really take a nap. So, okay, what's not on here that you think should be? I mean, obviously retail in some regards. But
that's really the low-hanging fruit. I mean, anything that can be easily shipped, mm-hmm. I think, is on here. That's the low-hanging fruit. The infrastructure that and model that Amazon has put in place and now all these other big retailers are following, it's just so easy to ship everything now. And it's so fast. And now we're getting to the point where we don't want to go to the store as consumers.
You remember 10 years ago when we started the ticket company that we ran for a lot of years after that? You know, we said at one point, you know, should we have a location? And do you remember how adamant I was? I was like, I don't want to do anything in any industry where it's easy to ship.
Right.
Because we're going to get crushed.
Yep.
And like, why would you ever need to go anywhere to pick up your tickets? Like, actually, they charge you $25 to ship you your tickets now.
Right.
Because they don't want you to do
it. It's a deterrent.
Yes, it is totally a deterrent. And, you know, but that goes for a lot of things. I mean, and you look at a lot of stuff, too, like, oh, I have no idea about the validity of this, but something like Cartridge World, those things are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is like, you know, you would think that something like that, that's light. Easy to ship. Like I would feel like some of those chains would be very volatile. Now, one thing that is probably going to take a big rise and is just still services, just general services. And think about it. Like, so 6 years ago, we started building Gigabook and we knew the whole time that the norm and the expectation for online services was online booking.
Right.
And now that kind of technology, like no matter how big of a business you are, you know, you can go to gigabook.com, $15 a month. We'll take all your appointments online. We'll manage the whole thing for you, you know, and automate it. And that makes some people better business people.
For sure.
So who knows? Yeah. But yeah, it's going to, I don't know, man. I think there's a lot of things. I think this next decade is going to be really interesting because you also have, you know, all these things that you talk about artificial intelligence. Well, the reason that the manufacturing's on this list and it's slowing down because the cost of labor is still high.
Right.
And it's actually rising. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you get these big manufacturers and I was watching a thing on Vice about this and it was showing the Amazon factory. They had these little robots, these little square things with wheels, and they move a whole pillar worth of shelves. And they do this like really just kind of beautiful dance and they line up and they basically, the pickers or the people that pack the stuff up, these things basically just line up and they roll. And then imagine like a storage bin, but it has four sides. So it has product in it and it can spin around and it like, I mean, it's making it so it's easier to pack stuff up.
Right.
God, Amazon, we're all going to work for Amazon.
It's crazy.
Need to get that figured out. Well, man, I'll tell you what, this has been interesting. I do want to follow up because I want more information on the shoe and footwear. I think the secondary resale business of sneakers is 6 or 7 billion.
Oh yeah.
You know, so I mean, StockX alone does a couple million a day is what my sources have told me.
What Stadium Goods was just purchased for around a lot. 9 figures.
Yeah. You got companies like Urban Necessities opening new locations. They just have add another store. That's actually an example of the boutique retailer.
Yep.
Like sometimes you just want to go on the hunt for something, man.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you don't.
But it's something distinguishable. They've made it cool and there's a reason to be in the store.
Yeah. And that's the main thing. It's like, and that's that. that's the retail that will continue to do well, is that
very unique experience. Cool experience.
Yeah, and that you see, I see a lot of stuff about that. That's actually, I think, a business that you see a lot of. You know, life is more about experiences than things. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if we morph out to that. Well, in order to not let our industry die, I'm going to get back to work.
So me too.
Thanks for sitting in. I'll see you next time, buddy.
See ya.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Startup Hustle with Matt DeCourcy and Matt Watson. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit startuphustle.xyz. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and subscribe. And we'll catch you next time on Startup Hustle.